From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Wade Menezes. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Tuesday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line Tuesday. Father Wade Menezes is in the house, ready to take your phone call, so pick up a phone and give us a call at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. And you can always send us an email. That email address is openline@ewtn.com. I'm Jack Williams. Pedro Quiles producing the program. Your call screener is Ace McKay and Michael McCall handling our social media efforts. So if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook Live, you can type a question into the chat window and it may get to us by the end of the program. And our host, as he is every Tuesday, Father Wade Menezes, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jack, on these days between the Ascension and Pentecost. I hope all of you are too. So it's an exciting week here in the Universal Church between these two great feasts, these two great solemnities.
I just want to issue you a little warning at the beginning of the program.
All right.
Words matter.
Words do matter. That's right. That's right. So today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit in the proper words. All right. A person's words in their final moments of earthly life seem to carry extra power, if you will, right? Extra weight, if you will. A person's final words just before they die seem to carry extra weight. People often seem to remember what they are, right? Well, Jesus' last words before his ascension to heaven then are vitally important. At that final moment, Jesus said, "We will receive power. We will receive power." Just when he said those final words before he ascended into heaven, right? The Greek word used for power here in the ascension scene, Jack, is the same root word we use for dynamite. In other words, Jesus plans to give us explosive power, we can say, to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth, as Acts 1 tells us in verse 8. Jesus wants us to know the immeasurable scope of his power working in us, Ephesians 1:19 tells us. And 2 Corinthians 4:7 says Jesus pours all of this explosive power into our weak human lives to make it clear that the surpassing power comes from God, not from us. And in our weakness and surrender, his power reaches its perfection. That's also 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. So when we commit our life to him, Jack, our weakness turns on the switch, we could say, that causes God's power to flow through us in high voltage power. And this is his design for us. This is his will for us. Matthew 16:25 says, "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So both the Ascension and Pentecost mark the beginning of Jesus' plan to work through us in a new and powerful way when he ascends into heaven, not to be seen again until his second coming. The all-powerful God has chosen to share his power with us, his weak creatures. How awesome is that? He sends forth his Spirit to renew the face of the earth on what we call Pentecost Sunday, the great solemnity of Pentecost. Remember that in 2 Peter 1:4, we read that God has granted to us his precious and very great promises, that through these you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion and become partakers of the divine nature. And the seven sacraments, of course, are the seven ordinary channels through which we receive God's sanctifying grace, which makes us actual participators in his own divine life. God has given us power to tread on, Jack, all the forces of the enemy. We have the power to tread on all the forces of the enemy. Luke 10:19 tells us that. So we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit and receive power from on high. So let Jesus' power flow through you to renew the earth. I want our callers today, Jack, to call in and give a witness how the Holy Spirit, in a very particular way, has moved in their life, either in their own personal individual life, or maybe has moved in their life through their family, maybe through a close friend. How has the Holy Spirit worked in your life with a particular incident that through your faith, you have no doubt the Holy Spirit was really, truly, sincerely working in your life, and you were open to the Holy Spirit working in your life? Again, we need to surrender to the Holy Spirit and receive power from on high. So let Jesus' power flow through you to renew the earth. A prayer that each one of us could pray today, Jack, as, say, our novena prayer leading up to Pentecost is, Almighty God, with your help, I will take up my daily crosses with joy and resignation so that I will know and exercise the immeasurable scope of your power working in me through your Holy Spirit. Guide me to live the seven gifts and the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And what are those seven gifts that we read about in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, and those 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit, which we read about in Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23? Well, the seven gifts are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. And the fruits of the Spirit are charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. Okay, so we have these beautiful seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 3, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, to really mold our lives in pursuance of these seven gifts and 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. So has the Holy Spirit moved in your life, say, with any of these particular gifts or fruits at a supernatural level? Obviously, I'm not talking about a merely natural human level, but at a supernatural level. While you had the moral certitude, you were in a state of grace because you were not aware of any mortal sin on your soul, which severs our supernatural love of God and love of others whenever we commit a mortal sin. But you had the moral certitude that you were sincerely in your heart of hearts not aware of any mortal sin in your soul. So guess what? That means you had the seven gifts and the 12 fruits working in you, even though they might have been infantile in you, they were still working in you. And did you sense that? And if so, which gift or gifts, which fruit or fruits, or in a particular manifested way, say through a family situation, through a job situation, through a reorientation of your life situation, maybe discerning whether or not to move or not out of state to take on a new position, a new job, new employment. Did you and your spouse go through something that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt was the Holy Spirit working in your life? Give a call today to Open Line Tuesday during this live hour and give us that witness call about these workings of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Jack, on the day of Pentecost, Christ's Paschal mystery was brought to its completion. The Pentecost preface tells us this. The Holy Spirit prepares us with His grace in order to draw us to Christ. He manifests the risen Lord to us, opening our minds. He makes present the mystery of Christ, and He reconciles us. That's a big one there. Bringing us into communion with God. He reconciles us, bringing us into communion with God. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches very beautifully. He says that the Holy Spirit interiorly perfects. The Holy Spirit interiorly perfects His our own human spirit, communicating to it a new dynamism, right? A new dynamism, so that it refrains from evil for love. There's that word associated with dynamite again, right? The explosive power. Again, St. Thomas Aquinas says that the Holy Spirit interiorly perfects our own human spirit, communicating to it a new dynamism, so that it refrains from evil and for love. And this through the outpouring of the seven gifts and 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was a movement of love that you really felt the Holy Spirit moving in your life according to the moral law in regards to all that Jesus has revealed Himself and through His bride, the church, His church, through her three-legged stool of sacred scripture, sacred tradition, and the magisterium. You have no doubt that the Holy Spirit was moving you correctly. in a way of better pursuance of the good, the true, and the beautiful, and solid moral living. Saint Cyril of Alexandria teaches that with the Holy Spirit working within us, I love this quote, it is quite natural for people who had been absorbed by the things of this world to become entirely otherworldly in outlook, and for cowards to now become people of great courage. Powerful quote there, Saint Cyril of Alexandria. With the power of the Holy Spirit working within us, quote, it is quite natural for people who had been absorbed by the things of this world to become entirely otherworldly in outlook, and for cowards to become people of great courage. Give us a call this hour. Give us a witness call as to how the Holy Spirit has moved in your life.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
You know, we've been talking all week. This is ordination season. Were you ordained in the month of June, Father?
I was. In fact, drum roll, please. Next Tuesday, June 10th, 1 week from today, is my 25th jubilee of ordination to the priesthood.
Are you doing the show?
Yes, I'm doing the show, of course.
Okay, just making sure. Making sure you didn't have some.
Hey, I'm not a slacker. Come on,
some
now.
Big soiree planned for your 25th that was going to keep you from doing radio.
Well, hey, that's listen. Coming in August. That's
yeah,
coming in August.
There you go. Gotcha. Well, listen, we've got. We're so blessed. We talked about it yesterday. We'll be talking about it all week to have the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word in our midst, and one of the most beloved members of the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, Father Anthony. June 3rd, today, is the 25th anniversary.
That's right.
He has been a priest for a whole week longer than you, Father Wade. That's why he's so much holier than you.
And it still irks me till this day that he's got... I hope he's listening to this. I'm telling you, it still irks me that he's got 7 days on me.
But, you know, Father...
Of course.
Father Anthony has... he's got a little bit of a little annoying neurological situation that he's been battling for the last couple years, so it takes him a little while to kind of get everything going in the morning, so you haven't seen him on the daily mass, but he is alive and well and doing a lot of work. He's the historian and the archivist for the order, and doing a lot of other work behind the scenes down there in the friary, and he's doing well. Has his struggles with this condition, but he's doing well. And 25 years, what a great anniversary for Father Anthony. Just a magnificent priest is all. I mean, to be to be so closely united to the friars here, to your order, the Fathers of Mercy, to be in contact so frequently with the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal that Father Benedict Groeschel and Father Andrew Apostoli started so many years ago. I mean, how blessed are we that we have all of this at our beck and call. So keep Father Anthony in your prayers. I know he appreciates it. And just a big shout out to him. The elder statesman among he and Father Wade in the sacred priesthood. To the phones we go. Joshua is in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Joshua, thank you so much for holding. Welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you.
You're welcome. Go right ahead.
All right. Hi, my name is Joshua, and I'm a convert from Protestantism. My brother has been away from the faith for 22 years since our father died, and he recently came back. He's going to get rebaptized to commemorate his return to the faith. And he's invited me to come to his rebaptism. My question for you is, it's my understanding that for us as Catholics, rebaptism is technically considered a sacrilege. So would I be able to attend such a thing in good faith?
Well, really, he's not being baptized again. If his first baptism was valid, Joshua, whatever year that was done, years ago, as you make it sound, then this one that you would be going to now simply does not take effect. If the first one from years ago was not valid for whatever reason, maybe the Protestant minister didn't do a valid Trinitarian formula, then this second one will be valid, provided the second Protestant pastor in current time does a valid Trinitarian formula. So in that case, the second one takes effect. So a person can only be baptized one time. One may be baptized conditionally if there's doubt about the first one. And then if the first one indeed was never valid, then the second one that was done conditionally takes effect as the valid baptism. But if the first one was valid, then the second one that was done conditionally does not take effect. So your brother is technically a Protestant. He's not a Catholic. If it's the tradition in that Protestant faith to go through a second baptismal quote-unquote ceremony, you as a Catholic know that only one of those is valid. You're going simply not because you believe in the second baptism. You're going simply to celebrate with your brother returning to his practice of Christianity according to the faith tradition that you both received from your parents, who were Protestant and raised you boys Protestant, because you said you're a Catholic that you converted to the faith. So you're not going because you believe he's going to be baptized a second time and the first time was never valid. You're going simply to celebrate his return. And and it's not that your brother's a baptized Catholic who's now left the faith to go do this in a Protestant church. That would be wrong, and you couldn't attend that. But you can surely go celebrate with him in his faith tradition. There would be nothing wrong with that. In fact, it can be a portal, a gateway to your bettering your relationship with him, to one day evangelize to him, hopefully sooner rather than later, about what the Catholic Church teaches about being able to receive only one valid baptism and why that is so reasonable as a teaching of our faith. Great question, Joshua. Thank you so much.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. You know, Father Wade, I've got a little story for you.
Sure.
We have all of our phone lines lined up here, right, with callers, Pat in Alabama, Brent in Texas, Brenda, in Texas, Jerry in Connecticut, Gilbert in Nebraska, Chris in Des Moines. We're going to get to all these callers, but our line four on our phone system has not worked for several months. And our great IT people were able to diagnose the problem and finally got that restored for us on Friday. And Ace McKay, celebrity call screener today, has said, line four is working. It's a Holy Spirit moment.
Hey, it could well be. It could well be, of course, with the human element cooperating with the Holy Spirit to bring line four back to life.
That's right. Pat is in Mobile, Alabama, listening on Archangel Radio today. Pat, you're on with Father Wade.
Yes, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes ma'am.
Pat, thank you so much for calling.
Okay, good. I don't know if this qualifies as a Holy Spirit moment or not, but I had a very, very good friend who passed away from cancer. She was in the hospital like 3 days before she passed away. I was visiting there, and her daughter came in, and we were talking about going to church and this, that, and the other. And we thought she was asleep, but she turned over and she says, you know, I don't see how if you turn your back on God and walk away and then at the very last minute say you're sorry that it's all going to be okay and he'll forgive you. So I immediately, my brain clicked to the story of the prodigal son and how he came back. And mm-hmm. I thought, you know, I'm going to tell her about this. So
sure.
I started talking to her, and that was not what I was saying. I was telling her about, suppose she and her daughter had an argument, and they didn't speak, and this, that, and the other, how happy she would be, and how full of joy she would be if her daughter was going to come back to her. And it's the same way with God. He's just happy you're back. You don't care. He's happy you're back.
That's beautiful.
Well, 2 days later... 2 days later, she passed away, and after the funeral, we were at her mother's, we're at somebody's house, and her daughter came up to me, and she said, did Mother ever tell you about that argument we had? And I said, well, no, I had forgotten about that. I said, no, I don't know. She says, what you told her is the exact thing that happened.
Wow.
She said they didn't speak for years, and then they got back together, and they've been really close ever since. She says, did she told you about that? I said, no, she never did. I promise. She never did. Never knew it. I said, I didn't even know what I was talking about.
Beautiful. So you were inspired to tell her the story about the return of the prodigal son, but it ended up coming out and you ended up sharing it in a more personable way regarding, let's say, her and her daughter. And indeed, that had indeed happened in the past between the two of them. And they died reconciled, the mother died reconciled with the daughter and the daughter reconciled with the mother. And then here's the daughter witnessing to you after the funeral about the beauty of that. I would say that was the Holy Spirit moving in conversation when you were talking to the mother before she passed. I would think so. What a beautiful story, Pat. Thank you so much for your call today from Mobile, Alabama. We really appreciate your listenership to Open Line and Open Line Tuesday.
Gilbert is in Omaha, Nebraska. He's listening to us on Spirit Catholic Radio. Gilbert, you're on with Father Wade.
Yes, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Gilbert.
I wanted to just bring up two things. You know, it was EWTN that brought me back to my Catholic faith back
Beautiful.
In 2005. And I listened to it for about 30 days, and then I went to confession and had to say, you know, bless me, Father, it's been 24 years since my last confession. So that was one thing that I wanted to say thank you to Mother Angelica for doing.
Beautiful. Wonderful. That EWTN had
I'm having a hard time hearing you guys. There's a lot of static on that phone line.
Yeah, go ahead.
And the second thing I just wanted to say that my wife passed away about 5 years ago. She was very young. She was about 48, 49 years old. And one of the things that I had to deal with was taking care of her mom. You know, she's not mentally able to take care of herself. So I've had to deal with that for the past 4 years. And I just want to say that over the past 3 months, you know, it was kind of a burden for me, and I kind of was not too happy about having to do that. But, you know, if I don't take care of her, nobody else will. But in the past 3 months, I've kind of gained a grace, I think, from the Holy Spirit to treat her better and to do a better job. And I just know, I don't know where it came from, but I just wanted to say that, you know, I think God puts things in our lives sometimes to make us better. And I just wanted to hear what you guys think about that. Those are the two things I wanted to talk about.
I agree.
I would agree too. I would totally agree. We don't know, you know, the sadness of one event in our life can lead to something else that leads to a greater help towards another person. We just don't know how things are going to unfurl, but we need to be open to the graces of the situations in the plural and be open to God's will to work in our life so that the Holy Spirit can move freely. I think you said it was your mother that you have moved in with and have begun to help.
It was
my first wife's mother.
Oh, okay. Well, there you have it. You know, you never know how the Holy Spirit's going to move. So that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Thank you so much, Gilbert, for your call today to Open Line Tuesday. We really appreciate your call from Omaha, Nebraska.
That's going to free up a line for you. The number's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, that number is 1-205-271-2985, and we'll even put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. And you can always send us an email. That email address is openline@ewtn.com. That's openline, all one word, at EWTN.com. And put something like Father Wade or Open Line Tuesday in the subject line, and we'll get it to the appropriate location. It's EWTN's Open Line Tuesday. Give us a call at 833-288-EWTN. How has the Holy Spirit worked in your life? 833-288-3986. Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Congratulations going out to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating 10 years with us. KFSS serves my hometown of Joplin, Missouri. Congratulations to Steve Duncan at St. Peter and Paul, or at St. Peter the Apostle Catholic Church there in the Joplin, Missouri area from your friends here at EWTN. And they have a giant Catholic radio billboard right on the highway as you get off the exit there in Cape Girardeau.
Awesome.
Well, that's actually Cape Girardeau I'm thinking of, not Joplin. Anyway, it's Monday on Tuesday, Father Wade. 833-288-EWTN's our toll-free number. Next up is Chris in Des Moines, Iowa, listening on Iowa Catholic Radio. Chris, you're on with Father Wade.
All right. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Chris. Thank you so much for your call today from Des Moines.
Okay. So I'm going to share some things that I keep quiet about because they did happen, but sometimes when things happen and God does things, it's so big that you got to hide it. You just don't want to tell because people will label you as crazy or whatever. And I passed every psych exam I've ever taken, so I'm just going to lay it out. If this helps people that are listening, this is the reason I'm telling this. I'll just skip to the big stuff. So I was drinking too hard. I was in the Navy. I went to Catholic school. I got out of the Navy fifth grade. When the Navy fell apart, not in fifth grade, but later on I went in the Navy, I fell away from God. Okay, I got out. I started drinking heavy to the point where I almost had fatty liver disease. I stopped. I started praying. This is years later, obviously. I prayed the rosary one night. The next morning at dawn, there was a dove outside my window. I've never seen the dove since. Prayed the rosary another night. I went in my backyard. There was a storm. And then, I mean, I don't know if this is the Holy Spirit, but an eagle hovered 4 feet over my head. I was scared. I mean, there's rabbits and squirrels in my backyard, so there's also that possibility. But he was staring at me, and I'm kind of like, that's not normal. And then the third thing that happened, this is just prayer-related. It's going to escalate what happened to me, but the third thing that happened was all related to the rosary was I had a dream, and in the dream, there was a dark hill. This is I'm going through shakes and quitting drinking, and literally I just withdrew from it. I just quit. And so 2.5 years now I haven't drank. So, like, I basically, I'm in this dream. I know it was legit. I hardly remember my dreams. I'm on a hill. I crawl up the hill. I get to the top of the hill. There's a cross. It's stormy. I grabbed onto the hill, and then my clothes got big. As I'm laying down holding onto the cross, my clothes got big, and I was a little kid. And then there's light. This is the dream. And then there's this guy standing there. It was Jesus. The Lord was standing there. And he put it in my hand, and I felt like this, like he was my father, and he told me it was going to be okay. Then I woke up in a cold sweat, like, what's going on with me right now? This is freaking me out. Then it gets bigger. A Catholic, hardcore Irish Catholic at work, gave me this old prayer book that said Padre Pio on it. I was limping around at work because I hurt myself. I hurt my foot. I could barely work. He said, just pray this. I'm like, okay. So I went home and prayed it. Specifically, the prayer in the book was the one about accept me as a spiritual child. This is where I was like, whoa, what's going on? I don't know how to handle this. So I prayed the Padre Pio prayer. I set up, and I guess now that I know more what's going on, through his intercession, there was a pop, and my foot was healed instantly, and I went to work the next day, and I worked a double shift. Running around like a little, 18-year-old. That's just, now it gets even more. The second thing that happened after that, after these, I don't know if they're signal grace. I don't know. The first things were signal graces. Now these are actual. What I'm telling you now are three more concrete, like just like up in my face. And at this point, I know God's like, I believe that God's like telling me something. Like, Chris, hey, man. So then I hurt my back. So the exact same Padre Pio prayer. Went and laid down. I could barely walk. I felt this warm, tingly feeling on my back. I'm laying in my bed. I got up out of bed to go to the bathroom, and, like, I was fine. The very next day, I'm running around, like, and I could barely walk. And then the third thing that happened was I said, I want to go to Mass more. I was on a schedule where I was working overnights, and I prayed. This was the St. Joseph. It wasn't the St. Joseph worker prayer. I prayed it, like, from the 1500s, said or something. I'm just like, whatever, I'm going to pray this. So I prayed it. asked God, please get me promoted so I can go to Mass more, please. Obviously, this is legit. It's real. They're not just making it up. It's not some kind of, you know, fake thing that people are saying, oh, that doesn't happen, you know, or whatever. This isn't the X-Files. I mean, obviously, something is legitly going on in my life right now. So I prayed the very next day, my schedule changed to the next man, the next level up in promotion. On the third day after praying the prayer, I get a phone call. They go, this is the call you've been waiting for. I promised God that I would go to Mass, not just on Sunday before work, but also, you know, during the week. And then I would give money. So I got promoted, you know, I give money to the poor. So I go, and I give, you know, the St. Vincent de Paul's to the food pantry. And I'm helping as much as I can. And I'm trying to do, I ask him to show me his will, whatever he wants. I don't, you know, I went to a 2-hour confession. I confessed everything. I expected to be excommunicated because it wasn't good. Even the priest was like, yeah, that's really bad, some of the stuff you did, but nothing to get excommunicated. I'd spilled everything out. And then I've just been trying to live a
Amen.
Pure life. And I pray the rosary daily to keep me on track. I quit smoking. I was a firefighter in the Navy, and I did run a 412 mile. I ran in and fought fires, man. But the smoking, you know, was holding me back. But now all of a sudden I'm starting to run faster. I can breathe. I guess it's a huge difference. I quit that. I'm not drinking. I don't smoke. And I just pray the rosary daily, and I hit Mass as many times as I can. And
you know, that's amazing stuff, by the way, because, you know, you think about all these wonderful graces that Chris is experiencing that he's describing to us, and they only get amplified when he shares those with other people.
Yeah, that's right. You know, the Holy Spirit cannot be outdone in generosity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit cannot be outdone in generosity. And Chris, I have no doubt that you're on the right track from everything you've said. If I had a parish and you asked me for a few minutes of my time as your parish priest and you shared with me exactly what you just shared on the air today on Open Line Tuesday, I would tell you the same thing. I think you are definitely on the right track. You are open to God working in your life, and you've done great things in showing that goodwill to Him in wanting to move forward and correct the past faults that you've committed, and He's blessing you in return for that. So that is a fantastic thing. What a great, great witness call, Chris. Thank you so much. If you haven't picked it up already, I'd like you to get my brand new book that I wrote specifically for men, specifically for guys. Some of the things that you articulated, Chris, I give as scenarios in my 200-day meditation book, Stand Firm, Be Strong. You can get it from EWTNRC.com. EWTNRC.com. I'm holding it up right now to the screen for those of you who can see it on either Facebook or YouTube, our live feed this hour. Stand Firm, Be Strong, a men's Catholic daily devotional of Scripture and Saints. It's a 200-day, that is to say, 6-month daily meditation booklet written specifically for the guys. Chris, I really think you would benefit from it because of some of the things you said. It would be just 3 to 7 minutes a day for a commitment to grow in your Catholic faith. God bless you, Chris, and thanks for a fantastic witness call.
We head next to the Republic of Texas. Brenda's in Corpus Christi listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Brenda, you're on with Father Wade.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm in my car, but I'm not driving. I had an experience at one time that I've always called a Holy Spirit moment. And just for a little bit of background, my husband and I were married young in our 20s. We had 2 children in our 20s. We were both working, and we started using contraception. Hmm. And at about 10 years into it, I just started to have a nagging, gnawing feeling that it wasn't right, but I couldn't leave the church, didn't know where else I would go. And but just really struggled with it for a number of years, and a lot of fear. My dear priest confessor friend of mine had recommended I read a book entitled Theology and Sanity. It's a big, thick book. And about halfway through it, I came to a sentence that had the word magisterium in it. And I had never given any thought to the magisterium of the church. But it was just like, at that moment, the scales fell from my eyes. And just the Holy Spirit touched me, and I thought, why am I struggling with this? It's already been figured out for me, and right. that was all it took. And as soon as I had that, God just cleared the path of any obstacles, took care of all my fears of being an older mother. My husband and I were nearing 40 by that time. I was afraid of being an older working mother. My husband got a promotion at work to which he had never aspired, increased his income by 50%. I was able to have the knowledge that if we were to have another child, I could, you know, quit my job. Well, all of that happened, and we had two more children in our 40s, and they were just what our family needed. When we finally opened ourselves up to what God wanted to share with us, He has made our lives so beautiful. And we are now nearing our 70s, and that baby is in college still. But beautiful. What a blessing they have been. But I'll never forget that Holy Spirit moment. I read that word magisterium, and I thought, what am I thinking? It's all been done for me. So thank you for letting me share that.
Absolutely, Brenda. Absolutely. And you are most welcome. And we thank you for giving such a beautiful witness today on Open Line Tuesday. And the Holy Spirit guides the church from our Lord's ascension into heaven, which we celebrated this past week. Some dioceses on Thursday, some dioceses on Sunday. But this past week, we celebrated the ascension until He comes again in His second coming. His bride, the church, is guided by the Holy Spirit. He promised that at the time of the ascension. And all that Christ has taught and all that God has revealed through His Son is given to us through sacred scripture, the Bible, through sacred tradition, whether oral or written, and also through the magisterium of the church, which simply means the teaching office, capital T, capital O. The magisterium is the teaching office of the church, from the Latin word magister, which means teacher. It's the magisterium per se is rooted or grounded in the apostolic college of the original apostles. And we are guided through this three-legged stool of sacred scriptures, sacred tradition, the magisterium. And you said it beautiful, Brenda. When I came across that word and what it meant, it dawned on me that it's already been figured out for me, this teaching on contraception. I have no more reason to struggle with contraception anymore. The church tells me why it's immorally illicit. And that's a beautiful thing. And you're a faithful daughter of the church. And it strengthened your marriage, which I have yet to hear a husband or wife who have quit contracepting who did not simultaneously say that it did not at the same time strengthen their marriage when they stopped the artificial contraception. And Brenda, you are just one more spouse who has been added to that list for me. So thank you for such a fantastic, fantastic witness call. Thank you so much.
You know, Father Wade, Brenda sharing her story reminds me of this phenomena that we see over and over and over again, that faith precedes understanding.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. And the church teaches that, you know, and faith is a gift that's granted by God to the individual that the individual is free to either accept or reject. And should they accept it, they give that religious assent back to God through faith. And so faith is really a reciprocal gift. It's given first by God, and the person is free to respond to it or not.
Well, Jerry is in Shell, Connecticut, listening on Veritas Catholic Radio, and Jerry is a witness by his very presence to the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the first open line caller since the restoration of Line 4. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Oh, what an honor. Thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to share with people that I struggled with anger. I struggled with listening to talk radio. I struggled in my life. If I bumped into something, it was swearing, anger, you name it. And I wanted to get closer to God. And I thought to myself, the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what can I do? And I got a book, a novena to the Holy Spirit. And I said the novena for 3 years, constantly saying the novena to the Holy Spirit to open my mind, open my heart to Jesus, to God, to make me a better person. And I could tell you today, it, the fruits of the Holy Spirit is just so awesome. I love, I don't judge. I'm not perfect, but I just smile when I see people anywhere. I love them. I can sense their spirit, and I love them. And it's made such a big difference. I only listen to Catholic radio. It's made such a change. And it was a novena. It was a book, a yellow book I got with red. I guess it was for free. I just started reading Novena to the Holy Spirit, and that made the biggest difference in my life.
Well, beautiful, Jerry. I think the Holy Spirit can teach us to calm down a little bit. That's happened with me. You know, I'm very choleric in my temperament. I'm very much a doer. I'm very much an organizer. I'm very much an extrovert. And sometimes the Holy Spirit has to temper those traits in me and say, you know, Wade, I want this to be a little easier for you than you're making it. And so I have to pull back a little bit. And you just witnessed about your anger, and now, you know, you aren't so quick to react. You smile more. You talk to people more in public. It sounds like the Holy Spirit has taught you to be a little bit more easygoing. And I have sensed that. I say that as a witness. He has taught me, especially as I get older, to take things a little bit more at face value and to live life in such a way that God's in control. He wants me to cooperate. He wants me to do my part. He still wants me to be diligent in my daily duty, but He will be there to assist me from the day to day. And it's helped me live a little bit easier myself. So that's a great witness call. Thank you so much, Jerry. We really appreciate it. And I want to thank you too for your patience. We've had so many callers today from so many different states, Jack. I'm looking at all the different states, and every one says from our call screener in parentheses, it's a Holy Spirit story. It's a Holy Spirit story. And the lines were full here just moments ago. Now we still have five on. So thank you so much, Jerry. You waited very patiently, and we appreciate that.
Marissa is in Springfield, Illinois, listening on Covenant Radio. Marissa, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father. Thank you so much for taking my call today.
You're welcome, Marissa. Thank you.
Gonna try not to get too choked up here. I'm a crier, which my priest says is an indication that the Spirit's strong with you. So that's a good thing, I guess. I returned to the Catholic Church about 4 years ago. I was baptized Catholic as an infant at the request of my grandma. Mm-hmm. Thank God for her. God was not talked about in my home growing up. My only experience and introduction to our Lord was through my grandma and attending Mass every now and then with her when I would stay the night. COVID hit, and things got really bad in my life, and I went from being not believing, to being a Southern Baptist as a teenager, to exploring Buddhism, to exploring Islam, to exploring Hinduism, to determining that there's one God, many paths, that everything is the same, that your words don't matter, that words are a construct of our own being, and that what we say really doesn't matter. It's just sounds we're making with our mouth, right? So COVID hit and things got really bad, and I actually lost my sister-in-law from COVID in August of 2020. And that's when I decided that I just didn't believe in God anymore, period. I was done. I'd never felt close or believed in Jesus other than that he was a teacher, a wise teacher, or a prophet, but not that he was the Son of God by any means. And it was 2 months after my sister-in-law died that I jokingly said to my family, I've been thinking about returning to my Catholic roots. And boy, they laughed. That was just, you know, hilarious. We live a half a block away from a Catholic church. We moved here 6 years ago. Hmm. I complain about how these Catholics drive all the time. anyway.
Jack, why are you laughing, Jack?
They are in such a hurry. Can I just say, we are in such a hurry. When we pick our kids up and when we're leaving Mass, it's like we have to go meet God somewhere else, it seems like. from how fast they drive. Anyway, so weeks passed, and I was at such an angry point in my life. Like, my heart beat with hate and anger and unforgiveness and intolerance and impatience. And I was so angry and so bitter. And almost in just one night, this was early October of 2020, I prayed a Hail Mary in front of my family. Couldn't believe I even remembered the Hail Mary, but broke out a Hail Mary. And it was about 6 weeks later that I was hitting the heart in the head by the Holy Spirit, and basically assured that everyone that I'd lost in life is okay, that I don't need to hold so tightly to the things of this earth, that this isn't my home.
Mm-hmm.
Just some beautiful things that were shared with me, and it was life-changing. And it was a week later, I decided to attend a Catholic Mass at that church right around the corner from me.
Beautiful.
And I went to the early Mass because I thought I'm going to drive across town and go to that Southern Baptist church I used to go to as a teenager as well. Talk about a juxtaposition. So I walked in that door at Christ the King, and I sat down, and the Mass started, and I didn't really remember what to say or what to do, but I was home. I was home, mm-hmm. and I had no need to drive across town and attend that Southern Baptist service. There was no need at all.
Beautiful.
And I've never been confirmed. I do receive communion now. My husband and I do live as brother and sister, which is very difficult. We're working on his annulments. My previous marriage has been annulled. But the changes that have taken place, not only in my life, but in my heart, are nothing short of a miracle.
Beautiful.
The patience, the love, the joy, the peace that I feel, the forgiveness. It's like this herd of elephants has been lifted from my shoulders and from my heart, and I see the beauty of this world and the gifts that he fills our life with every day. He is all around us at every moment of time. The Holy Spirit is within us all the time, and we have to listen. We have to quiet ourselves. We have to listen. We have to open
our
hearts. Yes,
we have to have an attentive spirit and be good listeners to God working in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Marissa, what a beautiful witness story about returning back to the church. And I want to commend you and your second civil husband on working on your respective prior marriage cases so that you can have your civil marriage sacramentalized in the church and now have it as a sacrament one day. It's a beautiful thing. And because you're living as though brother and sister, you are able to receive regular confession and regular Eucharist. So I encourage you to do so. And also, I want to encourage you to receive the sacrament of confirmation. Enroll in the OCIA program. That will complete your third and final sacrament to be fully initiated into the Catholic Church. Remember, the three sacraments of initiation are baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation. The two sacraments of service and mission are matrimony and holy orders. And the two sacraments of healing are the anointing of the sick and confession. So you want to receive that third and final sacrament to be sealed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit that you just so beautifully witnessed about these last few minutes. It would be silly, after giving such a beautiful testimony as you just did, to not be sealed in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is what the sacrament of confirmation does. So I want to encourage you to contact the OCIA director at your parish at Christ the King, just up the block from you, and to hopefully enroll in confirmation classes or into the OCIA program and to receive confirmation coming up. Thank you, Marissa, so much for a beautiful testimony. We really appreciate it.
And really quickly, I want to head to Karen in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Karen, just about a minute and a half left with Father Wade. Share your story with us.
Okay. Hello, Father Wade. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome, Karen. You got 90 seconds. We don't want you to be cut off.
Okay. Okay, real quick. Every Tuesday at 3:00, I have an Adoration Guardian hour. I head to the church to go to this hour and spend an adoration with Jesus. And I was on my way today to go, but it was the chapel is closed today because of a priest event. So I was listening to your call, and I was like, oh, I should probably call and tell about how last year, on July 2nd, my dad's birthday, who had on that who's been gone for 5 years last year, so now going on 6 years. I was in adoration and I was reading a book called Fire of the Holy Spirit, or sorry, Fire of Love by George Shuloff, who also, I think, wrote the book of your former caller, the Apostles of the Holy Spirit website. I don't know if you know about that.
Yeah, unfortunately, Karen, we are just flat out of time. I am so sorry. My apologies to Marie, Josette, and Gina. Just too many stories, not enough show. Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
I certainly will, Jack. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners and remain with each and every one of you this day and always. Saint Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us. On behalf of our host, Father Wade Menezes, producer Pedro Quiles, our call screener Ace McKay, and social media maven Mr. Michael McCall, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in. Back at it tomorrow. Until then, God bless.